Scripture reading for this New Year's Day service we can find in the first book of the Bible and the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And we'll read the entire chapter, including the first three verses of chapter 2. So we begin at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the second, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly upon the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. My dear congregation, on behalf of my dear wife and family, and your consistory as well, we wish each of you and your loved ones a most blessed year of our Lord, 2009. And of course, we may wish best wishes to one another and God's blessings to one another in this new year. And as we do so on this New Year's service, and as we begin this new year together, I would like to once again address you with God's word and wish each individual group God's blessings from the word of God. We begin with our dear consistory. Ecclesiastes 11, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. We wish our catechism class students, Proverbs 4, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. To the various Bible classes, 2 Timothy 1, that good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. To all of our young people, my son, my daughter, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 23. The women's Bible study in Anna's circle. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 31. To our organists, rejoice at the sound of the organ. Job 21. To our custodians, be strong and of a good courage and do it, and fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 28. To husbands and wives, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5. To all parents, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22. To singles, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6. To all of our students, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Proverbs 3. To grandparents, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. Ruth 4. To widows and those with special burdens, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30. To those involved with the evangelism committee, those working on the bulletin, in the library, the book table, the prayer meetings, the sing-alongs, the sound recordings, those involved in the nursery, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs 30. And we wish to the entire congregation 1 John 3, And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And these words, dear congregation, are only possible to be fulfilled by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ by gracious faith. And this morning, with God's help, we want to see the great importance of looking to God and beginning with God on this first day of the year, and also on every day that lies before us in the year 2009. And so the very words of our text we can find in the first chapter of the Bible and the first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. And that's our theme also as we consider these words, with two very simple thoughts so our children can understand it as well. First of all, God begins all. And secondly, all we do must begin with God as well. In the beginning, God. First, God begins all, and all we do must begin with God. Dear congregation, as we gather here on this first day of the year, it is fitting that we turn, of course, to the Word of God once again. And it is fitting, I trust, that we turn also to these first four words of Holy Scripture. In the beginning, God. Because we indeed begin a new year here, and so we begin with the beginning book of the Bible. And many of you know already, of course, that the very word Genesis means beginning. We don't have, in the original language, the book titles of the Bible. God didn't inspire the book titles, but this book title that we have in this first book actually is taken from this first verse of the Bible, beginning. That's why this first book is called Genesis, beginning. Because we have so many beginnings, don't we, in this book of Genesis. And before we look at all these various beginnings, we must remember that He who began all in the beginning has no beginning and no end of days. And of course, that's hard for our minds, especially for the children as well, and for all of us, to begin to comprehend. How can there be something that has no beginning and no end of days? Well, we can't answer that, dear young people, in plain English language and with our fallen finite minds. But we do know this, and we are called to believe this by faith, that God has no beginning. And God has no ending. He is, the Bible says, eternal. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the one who never changes. He always has been, and He always will be. No one can argue away His existence. No one can wish He wasn't there so strongly that somehow He disappears. God simply is. Always has existed. Always will exist. But there was a point when God, who is eternal, said, things must begin. And that's, of course, where we find the book of Genesis opening for us, with that clear history of God beginning time. In the beginning, God created time. And we have all kinds of beginnings, don't we, in the book of Genesis. We have the beginning of creation. We have the beginning of time. We have the beginning of sin. We have the beginning of salvation. We have the beginning of the human race. We have beginnings. we have read together from Genesis chapter 1, and we know, of course, that largely this chapter speaks about the beginning of creation. That's first what we want to pause and meditate upon just for a couple moments, that God began all in creation. I trust, congregation, as we gather here on this first day of the year, that there is no one who denies this simple yet very profound fact that God created the heavens and the earth. Only God did this. The Bible tells us that He did it by the word of His power. We would be foolish, of course, to deny the literal creation of this planet Earth and the entire universe in which we all dwell. There are many who seek to argue this truth away and say that the first chapters in the Bible are figurative language or a fanciful story. Others, of course, try to say, well, there is no God, and others say that somehow we evolved out of the Big Bang and out of the ocean and finally evolved to the creatures that we are. But I trust none of us even allow our minds to go down those pathways of foolishness and of error and of ungodliness. But we believe that God created the heaven and the earth. In the New Testament, we hear that echo as well. All things were made by Him. And John writes further in John 1, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, he says, it's all made by God. And He's the one who created the heavens and the earth, and there's nothing that is that God didn't make it. So every tree, every body of water, every blade of grass, every snowflake, every person was created by God. And dear congregation, because God created all things, we are called, therefore, to respect creation. And we are called, therefore, to respect one another. This is something that we are called to do in this new year. We ought never, dear young people, to speak disrespectfully to one another, to speak disrespectfully to our parents, to speak disrespectfully to our friends. We ought to respect all things as being created by the Lord. Yes, we may speak strongly against sin. I hope we do in this new year as well. But since God created all, it is a result of His forming and creating hand and His creating word. And here this word for God also is the word Elohim. It's the word that's used over 630 times in the Bible. And that's actually in the plural form. And we know, of course, that there are not more than one God. But we do know that Scripture tells us that there's one God in three persons. And therefore, when we read these words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, God is saying that as Father and Son and Holy Spirit, He's the one who is involved in all of creation. It's a triple confirmation, as it were, that He, in all His might, in all His power, was involved in the creation of all things. Let's always remember and hold strongly to this simple but profound fact that God began all in creation. But then secondly, let's remember this too. That the same God who created all, He cares for His creation. He brought His creation to birth, and just like a good parent, He nourishes that creation. Just like we, take care of our babies, our children, and our young people. We care for them. We nourish them. So also God, He not only created, but He cares. He cares for all things. He cares for the things that we apparently sometimes don't even think about. He cares for all the stars in the sky. Psalm 147 says that He has a name on every single one of them. And He has every one of them numbered. He cares for the large, great, and distant things. He cares for every blade of grass. And of course, He cares for every single human being made in His image. And He has a special care for His church who were recreated in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear congregation, let us remember this simple yet profound fact as well. Because no doubt, as we go throughout this year 2009, God sparing us, we will come to times and weeks and points in our life and we will ask ourselves, does anyone really care? Maybe we may not articulate that with our mouths, but we may say that in our hearts, and we may even think for a moment, does God care? Does He care for me? But He says in Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And every one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for ye are of more value than of many sparrows. You see, we get our value. We get our value not from our own inflated self-esteem, our own self-importance. We don't get it from people who think well of us. We don't falter when people think ill of us, but we get our value by who God is and how He takes care of us. And in a relationship with Him, that's how we find personal self-worth and personal value and strength to go on each passing day. And therefore, dear Church of God, we may rest assured that no matter whatever befalls us in this year, that our Heavenly Father will take care of us. Day and night, Psalm 139 tells us, are both alike unto Him. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He takes care of hairs of our head. He takes care of sparrows that fly. And He takes care of more valuable human beings who, we read in Genesis 1, are made in His image. And so God began all in creation. He cares for that creation. But God also, He also begins all in recreation after the image of His own Son. The same triune God who is the beginner of all is also the beginner of spiritual life. And dear congregation, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you desperately need in this year. You need God to begin in your heart and in your life. Yes, it is true, of course, that we are always exhorted to repent and believe, repent and believe, repent and believe. But when we do that, when we do repent and believe, it's because God began savingly in our hearts and in our lives. He's the beginner, not only of physical life, He's the beginner of spiritual life as well. And this is something, dear Church of God, that all of us must desperately pray for. We must pray that God would begin and continue His saving work in the hearts and lives of everyone of our dear congregation. And dear congregation, can you imagine the joy that would fill this building and fill this church. If every one of our children and grandchildren walked in the way of truth, I have no greater joy, John wrote, to see my children walking in the ways of truth. No greater joy to see lives changed and to see those changed lives being revealed in a life of obedience and faith and trust and love to God and love to our fellow man. We must pray for this every single day of the year. The prayer of the righteous man, the Bible tells us, avails much. And isn't it true? Dear seniors, dear parents, that God has answered your prayers in many ways in the past year. Maybe not exactly at the time you wanted, the way you wanted, but God does hear prayers. He does answer prayers. And we must continue to pray on and to press on for His cause and for His greater glory and for His recreating hand in the lives of our loved ones. Did not our parents and our grandparents pray desperately for us? And must we not then pray for our dear upcoming generation as well? God begins all in recreation. But when we are thinking with all of our beginnings with God, we also remember, of course, that these words are recorded in Scripture for us. And Scripture begins with God as well. We are told that various times in Scripture. 2 Peter 1, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This entire book, congregation, this entire library, from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books of it, were inspired by God, was begun by God, and is continuing to be upheld by God. And therefore, any situation that we go through in life, a fearful, a joyful one, a perplexing one, a challenging one, any situation in 2009, we may trust our lives fully, resting on the Word of God. God's Word is sure, the psalmist said. It is tried. It is true. It's like a rock that does not move. So often we feel the shifting sand, as it were, under our feet. Why is that, congregation? Because we're not resting on this rock right here. This is the rock. This is the foundation. This is the comfort. This is our strength. This is our hope for 2009. We must hide God's Word in our heart so that we do not sin against Him. We must believe the promises contained in the Word of God, that all things work together for good, even when it appears that they are not working together for good from our perspective. When we love God and are called according to His purpose, that promise is sure and it's true in our lives. In the beginning, God spoke with His Word. He spoke to create. And God still speaks through His Word. This first day of the year, He speaks through His Word. Every Lord's Day, He speaks through His Word, dear children. Every catechism instruction, He speaks through His Word. Every time Dad opens up the Bible, He speaks to us through His Word. Every time we open up our Bibles for personal devotion, He speaks to guide us, to instruct us, to comfort us, to correct us, to teach us His way. In the beginning, God speaks to us about God beginning and about God continuing all things through His Word. The entire book speaks about Him from these words, in the beginning, God, to the center verse in the Bible, Psalm 118, verse 8, that tells us that the Lord is the center of all things. To the very last chapter of the Bible, behold, I, the Lord, come quickly. The whole Word of God is filled with the truth of the Lord. And of course, on every page of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ is displayed for us to see. And I do pray that in reading the written word, dear children, dear seniors, dear adults, that we may see Him who is the living word, and that we may rejoice and be glad in Him all our days. In the beginning, God begins all. But secondly, all we do must begin with God as well. It was in the beginning of time, dear congregation, that God began all, and He began with us as well. And so, as we go throughout this new year, each of our beginnings, of our times of duty, should and ought to begin with God as well. Well, how and when, in a very practical way, ought we to begin with God? Well, first of all, each morning, we ought to begin with God. We ought to begin with God's Word. We ought to begin in prayer, even if that's brief, and maybe we can't even think clearly yet, very early in the morning. We ought to just call to God and say, Lord, I need help today. I need to be kept. I need to be kept from sin. I need to be guided by Thy counsel again, O God. You see, when we don't begin with God, and we don't begin with His Word, we don't begin in prayer, we are cheating ourselves of the only comfort there is in life and death. We are cheating ourselves of that only strength for our souls and for that new day. And we are dishonoring God as well, because He holds His hand, as it were, out to us every day. And He says, lean on Me. Trust in Me. Here's My big, My strong, My fatherly hand. Put your puny little hand in My strong hand. Let us begin with God each morning. The psalmist, Daniel, multitudes of others in Scripture, they went to God, didn't they, at stated prayer times, three times a day, morning, noon, and eve, and no doubt many times throughout the day as well. They prayed to God. They began with God. They middled with God, and they ended with God. We can never be too enamored, too focused on the Lord God. We can never spend too much time in prayer and seeking His face. Martin Luther, he said, if I have several hours of work extra in a day, he says, I'm not going to sleep in and get that extra rest. I'm going to arise even earlier so I can pray for that extra work throughout the day. Dear congregation, this is what made these people spiritual giants by the help and blessing of God. And we do well to follow them in their footsteps. I'm not saying, of course, that it has to be so many hours in a day. But it's this obsession of not leaving God alone. If we are Christian, we need Him. We must live from Him and live for Him and live unto Him. If we really love Him, we love to spend time with Him, just like when we love somebody physically, we love to spend time with them. Well, do you love God? We ought to spend time with Him every morning. And then too, at every meal hour, we ought to begin with God. We, of course, are given the example in Scripture of Christ. Before He broke bread, He gave thanks. We are told in the book of Deuteronomy to bless the Lord. After we eat our meals, we are called to begin every meal, remembering that this provision that God gave us again was from the Lord. The animals, of course, they just go straight to their food as instinct drives them. We are not animals, dear congregation. We are people made in the image of God. Then too, every time we would go on a trip, long or short, we ought to begin with God, even if that's a little short prayer, asking for his keeping hand, his hand of protection. Any life-shaping decision, whether that's college or a vocation or work or spouse or a friend or a place to go, we ought to pray. And then a good rule of thumb is, if we can't pray about what we're contemplating on doing, don't do it. If our conscience, of course, is guided by the Word of God. If we feel kind of funny, dear young people, if we would pray about going to a certain thing, well then just don't go there. Choose not to. Don't dishonor the Lord and sear your own conscience any further. But pray for all these life-shaping decisions that we are called to make throughout this year as well. Then too, every week as we come together, we have to begin together in the house of the Lord. The book of Hebrews, the writer to the book of Hebrews says very clearly, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We ought never, ever to miss church unless there's legitimate reasons of sickness. If we don't, we cheat our own souls and we sin against God if we are not joining together with the people of God within His house. Every week we must begin with God. Then too, with all of our domestic callings within our own homes, we are called to begin with God. Begin with you, dear fathers and husbands, as we lead our families in the way of God's Word. We are to love our dear wives sacrificially as Christ loved His church. If we don't begin with God in this area, we are in error. We are called to love our wives, to patiently bear with our wives, to uphold our wife, to understand her, to guide her, to comfort her, just like Christ does the church. Then we are honoring God. And we must also firmly and lovingly use discipline as needed within our own households. We are called, dear fathers, to do that in this year. Sometimes we are prone, aren't we, to just sweep sin under the rug and say, well, you know, it happens. We must use wisdom, not provoking our children to wrath, but yet using the firm hand of loving discipline, because that's what God does with us. Then too, as wives, you are called to begin with God in your domestic callings within your own households as well. You are called to be submissive to your husband in everything, the Bible says. You are called to follow your husband in as far as he follows the Lord. Sarah, of course, did that, we are told in Scripture. And you are her spiritual daughters when you follow her example. As a mother, you are called to walk perfectly before God within your own household. This is your great calling. And remembering, dear mothers as well, that especially in the very, very young years of a child's life, it's very formative, and a mother molds largely a child in those very young and formative years. And dear young people, all you do also must begin with God. teenagers and little ones as well? The Bible says very clearly that you are to honor and obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right in the first commandment with promise. That means you are called to respect mom and dad. It means you are called to obey mom and dad. You're not called to follow the negative example of those who disobey and disrespect, but you're called to follow God's guidance also throughout this year. First Corinthians 10 and verse 31 says it clearly, for everyone, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. That means whether we eat our food, whether we clear our driveways of snow, in the summertime when we mow our lawns, we are called to do it to the glory of God. God begins all. God began with us, congregation. And our only proper response is to begin each day, each week, each moment with Him. Now, God has high requirements for us in His Word, doesn't He? He has high requirements for us this morning. He has high requirements for us every day of the week. Every Lord's Day, He tells us to come and to worship Him, to sing praise to His name. And sometimes we can hear all these high exhortations, these very lofty exhortations, that is, and say, Lord, I just can't. I'm weak. I'm needy. I'm helpless. Can you just lower the standard a little bit? The Lord never lowers His standard to accommodate our weakness, congregation. He understands our weakness and our frailties, and He pities us as a father pities his children, Psalm 103. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but He does not condone our sins or our infirmities. Imagine once for a moment if God said, here are my commandments. You keep them most of the time when it works out with your schedule. If you worship another god half of the time, you worship self, or you worship sports, or you worship education, or you worship whatever that may be. You worship me half the time, you worship that's fine. Or if you tell the truth half the time, that's fine. Or I'll accept a 50-50 average from you and from your household in the way of obedience. Or you come to church when it works out with your schedule, or you try to be a faithful husband, a father, a wife, when you're feeling up to it. And if you make it half the time and you blend in pretty good with society, well, then you're doing all right. No, congregation, no, no, no. 1,000 times, no. God says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, that's impossible. And I agree, congregation, it's absolutely impossible. And that is why we must be found in Him who is perfect. That's the only way to live, to the glory of God. Embedded in Christ by faith. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. In the beginning, God. And at every one of our beginnings, it must be God and His Word as priority as well. May God convict us, congregation, of the necessity to walk before Him today, each Lord's Day, and all the days of our life, to His glory, world without end. Amen.